Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Chav Gimel, the very first daf of the third parak of Masech Sanhedrin. We are holding on daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph at the very top of the page. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Alila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Alah Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadie, and for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely. We thank both sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss in this parak first, and then we'll talk about this daf, this parak is going to talk about five basic topics. First of all, how do we choose Dayanim? Two people have a Din Torah. How do they choose who the Dayanim are going to be? Second, whether a Baldin is able to back out after he was mekabel a relative as one of the dayanim. Can he say, well, that was a bad idea, let me back out on that, I no longer want the relative to serve as a dayan. Third, who cannot be a dayan and who cannot be an aid? Who are the psulim, who are the krovim that cannot serve as a dayan or an aid? Fourth, what is the method of kabbalas edus? How do we accept edim and make sure that they're verified, that they're telling the truth? And fifth, what's the way a baldin can be so seredin if he finds a raya after the gemar din, meaning the din Torah is over, then he realizes, I missed a piece of evidence. I found a new piece of evidence. Is there something that you could do when you find a new piece of evidence? That's the perek begadol. Now, in today's daf, we're going to talk about, first, the Mishnah is going to talk about how to choose a beis din for dinei mamnis. The gemara is going to try to understand the system of zeh borer lo echad. What does that mean, that each one is borer lo echad, that each borer and they disqualify the other? How does that work exactly? Then the Gemara is going to briefly discuss how a person should always know who the other aid is when he's an aid, who the other dayanim are when he's a dayan, and who the other people sitting at a seuda are when he's sitting at a seuda. And then the Gemara is going to discuss whether Rabbi Meir, Gemara is going to spend a lot of time on whether Rabbi Meir would allow one baldin to disqualify a dayan mumcha. So it may depend on how we understand the line about in the Mishnah about disqualifying each other's edim may help us understand whether, at least according to Shitas Rav Meir, a baldin can even disqualify a dayan mumcha on the other side. Then on Amud Beis, about halfway down the page, Gemara is going to discuss whether a litigant can disqualify a set of witnesses when the other guy claims that he has two sets of witnesses. So he said, I'm not okay, Abadavar, to disqualify one of your sets of witnesses. You claim you have another set of witnesses against me anyway. Another set of witnesses against me anyway. So is he Neman to disqualify a set of witnesses? And the Gemara is going to try to connect two different machlokas tanaim, whether when a person claims to have many forms of proof, whether he has to bring all of those forms of proof or no. He has the same level of proof that you always have to bring in order to win a case. A guy claims he has two sets of witnesses or 10 sets of witnesses. Does he need to bring 10 sets of witnesses, or he just needs two kasher edim in order to win? A guy claims he has a shtar plus edim plus this, but so does he have to bring all of it? So the Gemara is going to have two different machlokas tanaim about that general topic, and we're going to discuss whether those two machlokas tanaim are necessarily bound up with one another. So let's begin at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Dinei Mamonis B'Shlosha. When it comes to regular Dinei Mamonis cases, regular Dinei Mamonis case of a Hoda'a, Halva'a, something like that, you need three Dayanim. Zebor Lo Echad, so one Baldin chooses one Dayan. Zebor Lo Echad, the other Baldin chooses another Dayan. At least that's the way the Gemara is going to understand in the Maskana. V'Shnei'en Borlen Ode Echad. And then the two Baldin together choose the third Dayan. Divra Meir, that's Rav Meir. She No, the Chum say it's not the two Balei Din that choose the third Dayan, it's the two Dayanim that have already been chosen that choose the third Dayan. So the Mishnah explains, if one Baldin is able to apostle the other Baldin, Zeh posel Dayanu shel Zeh, one Baldin can apostle the other guy's Dayan, and he can say, I don't want to go to appear in a basin in front of that guy. Vizeh posel Dayanu shel Zeh, and the other Baldin can passel the first guy's dayan. Divra Meir, that's Rav Meir Shita V'Cham. And the Chum say, no, you can't just walk into court and just passel, go around passeling dayanim. Amosai, when can you passel him? Bizman Shemevi Alei and Raya Shein Kroven Upsulin. If you can prove that one of these one of these dayanim is either a karov to one of the Balei Din, or is passel because he's a gambler or a ganav or something like that. Avalim Hayuk Sheirin Amumchem Pibezin. But if these are dayanim ksherim, or they're mumchim pei bezin, that they have smicha for a ra'a to paskin in bezin, eino yochol apostlan. You can't just walk into bezin and pasul them. So what it seems like over here is a fundamental machlok for Meir lechavim. Can a guy just walk into bezin and pasul the other guy's dayan? That according to our mayor, it sounds like yeah, and that's going to be a big discussion in the Gemara. Does Rav Meir really hold I can go to a mumcha, someone who's a respected, an accepted dayan, and just say, this I'm not going to appear in front of this guy? Is that something that a person is able to do? So similar machlokas, zeh posel edov shel zeh, v'zeh posel edov shel zeh, div Rav Meir. Rav Meir holds each one can possibly the other guy's edim, v'cham momrim, and the cham say, emesai, when can you possibly the other guy's edim? That's only bizman shemevi alein raya, shein kroven opsulin. That's only if you bring a raya that they're a karav or a pasul. Avalim hayuk sheirin, eni yochel posel, you can't just go pasul a kashra aid. That's not something that a person is able to do. Now the assumption of the whole mission is that both of them are willing to go to Beis Din. Tosfos points out in Daf Hei Amud Aleph that if one of the litigants refuses to come to Beis Din, so then they can force him to come to Beis Din. We're talking about where he wants to come to Beis Din, so therefore he gets a say in the matter of who the dayanim are. But if he refuses to come to Beis Din, well then you don't get any say in the matter. Then you're going to be forced to come to whichever Beis Din. So it's a beneficial to him to be willing to appear in front of a Beis Din. Now the Gemara explains what the first line of the Mishnah is all about. Zeh bor lo echad. So the Gemara assumes the assumption we're going in with is that zeh bor lo echad means each of the Balei Din chooses a Beis Din, meaning that I'm choosing these three dayanim, you choose a different three dayanim, and then we have a machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chachamim whether the two Balei Din pick the third set of three dayanim or the two existing Batei Din pick the third set of three dayanim. So my zebar lo echad v'zebar lo echad b'tlas asagi. Why would you have three dayanim plus three dayanim, then the two together pick another three dayanim? You only need three dayanim in total. You don't need nine dayanim. That's the way at least Rashi understands the Gemara's kasha. Tosfos raises a question that certainly doesn't imply that each one is picking three dayanim, because the Gemara could have just asked the stira between the Reisha and the Seifa, that the Reisha says dinim amenis b'shlosha. So it sounds like you only need three. And in the Sefer, it says that you need nine dayanim. Sefer meaning the very next words of the Mishnah say you need nine dayanim. That's the way you would have asked the Kasha if that was the Kasha. Meaning the way Rashi understands the Gemara's Kasha is, what are you talking about? Why do we have nine dayanim? We only need three. Tulsa says the proper way to ask such a Kasha is that this line says you need three dayanim, and then the next line says you need nine dayanim. You'd ask it as a stira in the Mishnah, not just a what are you talking about. So it must be that the mashmos of lashon is not that each one picks a Beis Din echad, and therefore the kasha of the Gemara is not as Rashi claims the kasha of the Gemara is. So what is the kasha? Says Tosfos that the Gemara already knew that each one passels the Beis Din that the other one is that the other one has chosen. They're only done in front of three dayanim, as the Gemara is going to answer. Well, the kasha was on the lashon of the Mishnah. The lashon of zeh bor lo echad sounds like it's a chiyuv that each one should pick a Beis Din Echad, but L'chora, it's also possible that they're not going to each pick a Beis Din. They'll go to a Beis Din that's already existing, and they're not going to just pick one Beis Din, another Beis Din, and a third Beis Din. So the Gemara answers, yeah, of course, there's no obligation to do this. It's just that if it happens that one guy wants to go to one Beis Din, the other one wants to go to the other Beis Din, each one, so then here's how to pick the final Beis Din that they actually go to. That's the way Tosfos learns the Gemara. But let's say it within Shita Rashi. So again, according to Shitas Rashi, the Gemara's Kasha is, why are we ending up with nine Dayanim? We only need to end up with three Dayanim. So Achi Kamar, so the Gemara says, no, what the Mishnah means to say is, Kisha zeh bor lo beis din echad v'zeh bor lo beis din echad. When each Baal Din chooses a different Beis Din and they each oppose the other one's Beis Din, shnein bor lo echad, then the two of them together will choose a third Beis Din which they will actually appear in front of. But they're not, of course, appearing in front of nine Dayanim. That would be ridiculous. Dinimam, this is in front of three Dayanim. But if they can't come to a meeting of the minds in terms of which basin to go to, so then Shnei and Borinlan Oda Echad, they ultimately have to settle on a Beis Din that they're going to appear in front of. So the Gemara asks that Afilu Lova Matzi Ma'akev, is this a thing that each litigant is able to passel the other guy's Beis Din? And is that true even of a Lova? A Lova is allowed to say, I refuse to appear in front of the Beis Din that the Malva chooses? Is that really within the Lova's rights? V'amar Rav Lazar, didn't Rav Lazar tell us, or we're going to see in about a week from now, about a din that a Meimar is going to teach, that if one of the Bali Din wants to go to the Makom Avad, to a special place where they have Kvius Din, Kvius Bate Din, that he could force the other Bal Din to go with him to that place? And Rav Lazar says, Lo Shanu Ella Malve, that the idea that you could force the other guy to go to the Beis Havad is only if you're the Malva. The Malva wants to go to the Beis Havad. Avalova, but the Lova can't force the Malva to go to the Beis Havad. Kofnos of Dan Biro. We're going to tell the Lova, sorry, you want to go to the Beis Havad? You got to have a Din Torah here in the city. You cannot force the Malva to travel with you. And therefore, it cannot be that our mission is telling us that each one, including the Lova, is able to passel the Beis Din that the other one chose. The Lova has very, very little power. Now, the reason the Malva is able to say that he wants to go to the Beis Havad, Rashi explains, is because the Lova is like an Eved Ish Malva, that the Lova always has the lower hand. The Malva has the upper hand. The Lova is the one that borrowed the money, so it's Lashon the Pasuk of Ashir Barashim Mimshol, the Eved Lova Ish Malva. So the basis of that concept is the Gemara we're going to have a Daf Lamed on base. And the reason that Lova is not able to say this is because since the Malva already spent money by lending the money to the Lova, so you can't now cost the Malva the expenses of travel as well in order to get his money back. Because then even when he gets his money back, he just breaks even. Because he already lost money by lending you the money. So now you're going to make him spend money to get his money back. It could be that he's going to end up just breaking even. Now the Svara of Eved Lova L'Ish Malva L'Chor is only by a Malva and a Lova. And it would turn out, says the Ran, that if there's any other situation of a Toveya and a Nitva, like Zelos and Chavalos, then there's no difference between the Toveya and the Nitva. They could each force one another to go to the Beis Havad. However, the Rambam in the sixth paragraph of the Sanhedrin, as well as the Rush and in both his in the back of the Gemara, as well as in the Tosa Rush, they write that by all Dine Mominus, only the Toveya can say, I want to go to the Beis Havad. The Nitva cannot say that he wants to go to the Beis Havad. And the Rush explains that the Svara, that you can't force him to spend money in order to get his money back, applies to every Toveya and does not apply to any Nitva. So that is the Machlokas Rishonim. But again, back in the Gemara, what we're asking is, each one is able to passel the other guy's Beis Din? Is that even true of the Lova? So answers the Gemara, Kedama Rabbi Yochanan. Just like Rabbi Yochanan is going to say in the Gemara, when the Gemara asks, how can each one passel the other guy's Dayanim? So we said, Barchosha B'Surya Shanu. They were talking about Batei Din in Surya that don't know the Dine Torah. So Achadami Barchosha B'Surya Shanu. So we hear also, we must be talking about where the local Bezin doesn't really know the Dine Torah, so the Lova could say, I'm not going to appear in front of a Bezin of Amratzin that don't know the Dine Torah. Aval Mumchen Lo, but Enochinami. If there are Dayanim that know the Dine Torah locally, the Lova cannot force you to go anywhere else, nor can the Lova disqualify such Dayanim, such a Bezin. The Lova can only disqualify a Bezin of Archos Shebesuria. So the Gemara brings a second answer on the Kasha of how the Lova could possibly a Bezin that the Malva had chosen. So again, answer number one is that it's Archos Shebesuria, and that's how the Lova has the right to passel the Beis Din. Rav Papa Amar Afilu Teim Mumchen. Now, it could even be that it's a Beis Din of Mumchen, and the Lova could say, I don't want to appear in front of this Beis Din. Kigon Beit Din Adravuna Adravchista. But the case is that there are Batei Dinim that are all in the same location. So the Lova could say, look, there's another Beis Din right here that we can go to, that I prefer to go to. So just like the Ravuna and Ravchista had two Batei Dinim in very very close proximity to each other. There's no expenses of travel from one to the other. So what do you have to lose? So I don't want to go to this one. I want to go to that one. Am I asking you to travel? Am I asking you to spend any money? Both batei din are in the same place. So that's where the lova has the right. So even though the lova cannot force the malva to go to the beis havad, meaning he cannot force him to travel, but he could force him to go to the other beis din in this, or at least not to go to the one beis din that the malva chose to go to in the city, but instead to go to the other beis din. Now Tosas raises a kashan, Dibra Maskul Kagon, that in Maseches Erevin we are taught that Rav Chista would never be mora halacha in front of Rav Huna, even a halacha kala. So it seems hard to imagine that he would establish a beis din in front of him, meaning he held that he was such a superior. If Rav Chista held that Rav Huna was such a superior that he would never even paskin a simple shaila in front of Rav Huna, a fleishig a spoon when it went into a milchik pa, he's not paskining bechlal in front of him, so he's going to be kaveya beis din right next to him. So Tosa says they must have been three parsaos apart from each other, and therefore he was able to paskin there. Meaning there is a distance where if you're a certain distance away, the din of mora halacha b'fnei rabo does not apply. So it must be that he had achieved that distance. Others explain, Achronim explain, the Sanhedrin Katana says, to be Miyashiv Rashi, that there's a chilik between a psak and isser v'heter, where a person needs to be a gadol b'torah in order to paskin, and therefore you don't paskin b'makom arav because it's a zilzal of the Rebbe, versus the psak and dine mamunus, where the halacha is that afilu gimel adyotos are ksherim ladun. So by you setting up a bezin, you're not claiming that you're better than the other guy, you're just saying you're a hedyot, so that you're good enough. Right, so maybe for that he was willing to set up a beis din nearby. So says the Gemara, Tanan, we have a Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, the Chachamim Shnei Dayanim Barim Lamrod Echad, that the Chacham say the two Dayanim choose the third Dayan. The Isal Kadayim, but if we're going to say the way we understood the Mishnah, that beis din, that each one passes the other one's beis din Basu the Pasul Azu Beirulu Beidina Achrini, how does this make any sense? Each one's beis din was passed, and now according to the Chachamim, the two batei din that have been disqualified are now going to be able to choose which beis din you're going to go to. Va'od, and another kasha, my zebar loecha v'zebar loecha. The lashon of the Mishnah says here's how you do it. This one chooses one beis din, and that one chooses one beis din. That's l'chachila, that each one is going to choose a beis din and then disqualify the other guy's beis din. Why do you have to do that? Why can't you just choose a beis din everybody likes? Right? Why do you have to have as a lechachila that each one is gonna disqualify the other one's basin? So the Gemara says, you know what? Maybe we got the pshat all wrong in the Mishnah, and the correct pshat in the Mishnah is the way we read the Mishnah originally. Elohachi kamar. This is what the Mishnah means to say. It says dini mamunis b'shlosha. How do I arrive at three dayanim? Zebor lo dayan echad. One baldin chooses one dayan. Zebor lo dayan echad, and the other baldin chooses a second dayan. Ushneyan borlan odechad, and the two baldin choose the third dayan. So there you have three dayanim. Maishna da avdiachi. Why do they have to do that to choose dayanim in such a way that each one chooses one and then the two choose the third? So as Gemara, Amri b'marava, they said in Eretz Yisrael, Mishmei Rabbi Zeira, mitoch shezeh borlo dayan echad, shezeh borlo dayan echad. Since each one gets the right to choose their dayan, ushnein borlo od echad, and the two balei din get to choose the third dayan, yetzei adin la mito. The balei din are going to be satisfied with the truthfulness of the psak din, because even the guy that loses in the din Torah will say, look, I had representation, I got to choose a dayan who's going to be mahapich b'zuchusi, who's going to do his best to try to defend me and try to present my point of view, and the dayanim will be mahapich b'zuchus of both sides because the balei din have chosen them. That's how Rashi understands. So it's a discussion in the Rishonim. The Rush says, the Rush makes a big deal about this. He says, "Ein litos b'divrei Rashi." Do not make the mistake when you read this Rashi that the dayan is actually going to be mahapich b'zchuso, that one of the dayanim is actually going to be advocating for the guy that had chosen him. No, it means that in the Baal Din's mind, that's what happens. But for sure, the Dayan, if he's a Dayan worth anything, is going to be completely down the middle in terms of his assessment of the case. He's not going to be looking to develop a zuchus for any one party over the other. It's just that emotionally, psychologically, for the person for the litigant, he's going to feel that he's been represented, even though there's no such thing as representation. It just doesn't work that way. That is what the Rush writes. The other Rishonim are not so convinced that that's what it means. It could be that that's the role of the Beis Din, that each one plays a role, meaning you have three Dayanim, so you say, okay, you advocate for this one, you advocate for this one, and then we'll all figure it out together. But their role is to try to find arguments for each side so they can bounce off of each other, so that it could be that it is what it sounds like from Rashi. Not in the sense of dishonesty, but as a way of arriving at the Emma. Now, the Rush explains that the kasha of the Gemara is, meaning when the Gemara asks, Maishna da'avdi hachi, so we said, oh, they do this because we want Yetzei Adin La'amito. The Rush explains that the kasha is, why did the Baalei Din not choose all three Dayanim? Why can't they, if the two Baalei Din anyway are getting together to choose the third Dayan, why don't the two Baalei Din get together and choose all three Dayanim? And that was the Gemara's kasha, and the Gemara's answer was, because I want to feel like I have one that's just mine. And he wants to feel like he has one that's just his. That kasha is a kasha if you assume that the two Baalei Din choose the third Dayan. Right? That was a machlokas tanaim in the Mishnah. Who chooses the third Dayan? Is it the two Baalei Din or the two Dayanim? So if the understanding is that it's the two Baalei Din, so you understand the kasha is, if the two Baalei Din could put their heads together and choose one of the Dayanim, why can't they choose all three of the Dayanim together and everyone will be happy with all three Dayanim? So the Gemara's answer was, each one wants to feel like they have an advocate. But if you hold that the two Dayanim choose the third Dayan, so then the question isn't as strong, meaning it's the only way to, I mean, what do you mean, why do we do this? Because it's the only way we're going to come to any sort of agreement, where we're not going to agree on the same Dayan. So that's why I have to choose one, and he just has to not disqualify him, and he has to choose one, and I have to just not disqualify him. We're not going to choose a Dayan together. Okay, the Chum said, both Dayanim choose the third Dayan. So what is the Machlokes Rav Meir and the Chamim, whether it's the Baalei Din or the Dayanim that choose the third Dayan? So says Gemara, name Rabbi Dom Rav Kamifugi. Maybe the Machlokes is about that which Rabbi Dom Rav taught. Dom Rav Dom Rav, Ein Eidim Chosim Al Shtar, Elim Ken Yod Demi Chosim Imahen. Eidim should never sign a Shtar unless they know who else is signing with them. As Rashi explains, because if you sign together with an Eid Puzzle, and the Shtar that you signed turns out to be a puzzle of shtar now, that's embarrassing for the Eid Kusher. The Adrama points out that the reason is because the Eidus is going to be Nispatel, so every Eid that's signed on there is going to be Nechshad, and it's a Ganai for a person to be signed on a shtar that's puzzle, and then now I'm going to be Nechshad that I did something wrong. So don't sign something unless you know who the other guy is that's signing along with you. There is a Machlok Rishonim, is that Maker Adin or not, right? Meaning I'm at a wedding and they asked me to sign a ksuba, and the other guy that they asked to sign a ksuba, I've never met him before, I don't know who he is. So is that Mikra Din, or is that something that it's just a good idea, just in case anyone ever apostles? So the Rush in the Tshuva and Klal Nun Tes writes that it's an Eitz Tova, it's not Minadin, and he brings a riot from the fact that the Gemara says that this is something that the Nikiyei Hadas of Yerushalayim used to do. And when you talk about, oh, the Holy Tzaddikim of Yerushalayim had a practice, you're normally not talking about like bare minimum halacha, right? You're talking about something that was a very nice thing, that's a beautiful chumrah. However, the Agos Hashri understands that this is me'ikra din, that you should not sign on a shtar unless you know who the other party is on the shtar. Maybe ksuba is a bad example. Most people sign ksuba, they don't even read the shtar. I mean, you're supposed to at least do that. You should read the shtar before you sign on it. But anyway, so Rav Meir, less like Rabbi Dom Rav, maybe Rav Meir just doesn't hold of Rabbi Dom Rav. He holds that the Dayanim do not have to know who's sitting on the Beis Din with them, and therefore the Bali Din can choose the third Dayan, because the Dayanim themselves don't need to know who the third Dayan is. Rabbanan is Rabbi Dom Rav, and the Rabbanan hold that the Dayanim have to choose the third Dayan is because they need to know who they're sitting with. They need to know who that third Dayan is. The Marshal raises the question, but they already don't know. Meaning, if each guy, each litigant chose one of the Dayanim, how do you know the first two Dayanim know each other? Meaning, you haven't set up a foolproof system where all the Dayanim are going to know each other, right? Because it's the two Dayanim choose the third Dayan. Good. So the third Dayan knows everybody. That's wonderful. But the first two Dayanim don't necessarily know each other. Rav Shaftes has told us that he's ended up on Zabla's where the other party. He had no idea who the other party was. Had no idea who the other Dayan was. So how do you solve it over there in such a case? So the Marshal writes that you can always get out of it. Meaning, once there's a kvias based in, you're not going to be able to get out of it so easily. It's going to be embarrassing to try to get out of it. But if when it's only two dayanim before you've chosen the third dayanim, you can say, no, I'm not comfortable with this whole situation. I'm not available. I'm not able to do it. So before a kvias based in, you can get out of it. So you're not going to get to the third dayan unless you're comfortable with the second dayan. So anyway, so says Gemara, isn't that the discussion over here? Whether the two dayanim or the two bali din choose the third dayan, isn't that dependent on whether all the dayanim need to know each other? So says Gemara, lo. Dukuli al isu Rabbi Dom Rav. Everyone holds a Rabbi Dom Rav that the dayanim need to know each other. There's no way we're going to force dayanim to sit on a basin that they're not comfortable sitting on. Of course you need the approval of the dayanim. Ki pligi, the machlokas in our Mishnah is das balei dinin. Do you also need the approval of the balei din? Rameir of das balei dinin nami ba'inan. Rameir holds, in addition to the dayanim approving everyone else on the Beis Din, the balei din also need to approve. Rabbanan savri das dayanim binin das balei dinin lo binan. And the Rabbanan hold, no, we only need the das dayanim. We don't need the das of the balei din to approve of who's going to be sitting on the Beis Din. So gufa. Amar Rabbi Dom Rav. We just said from Rabbi Dom Rav, Eneid Luchas Mal Ashtar, that Eidim should not sign an Ashtar unless they're familiar with the other people signing with them. Tani and Amiyachi, we have a Braisa, Kachayu, Nikei Adas of Yerushalayim Osin, the special Nikei Adas in Yerushalayim, the Rimi Lunil says that Nikei Adas are Gedolei Ador that are not Mochel on the cover of their Torah, and they're Makbid on their Bizayon. So people who are very, very respected people. So what they would do is Lo Yuchos Mal Ashtar, Elim Ken Yodin Michosim Mimahen. They wouldn't sign on the star unless they knew who was signed with them, because in case the shtar would turn out to be pasul, unless the other guy would turn out to be pasul, and the whole shtar would be pasul, and then it's embarrassing that they were signed on the shtar pasul. They wouldn't sit in the din Torah unless they knew who the other dayanim were. And they wouldn't sit at a suda unless they knew who was sitting together with them. The Bir Alacha, the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Bir Alacha in Simon Kuf Ayin, that it doesn't say mi meis of shab, it says mi meis of imahin. There could be ame aret at the suda, but you should know who the direct people sitting right next to you are, right? That at least Talmud Chacham shouldn't be sitting and dining mamish directly with Amei Aretz, even though they're going to be inevitably at a large suda. You go to a wedding, inevitably there are going to be some Amei Aretz. That's not a problem necessarily for the Talmud Chacham. Zeh posel dayanu. So we said each one can posel the other one's dayan according to Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, kol kamine de posel dayane. How does Rav Meir shita make any sense? I'm going to walk into Beis Din, I'm just going to say, I don't like the looks of that Dayan. He's out. But you have the right to apostle someone's Dayan? So Rabbi Yochanan bar Chosha B'Suri Yishanu. We already alluded to this earlier. No, we're not talking about real Dayanim. We're talking about our Chosha B'Suri that don't really know any of the Dine Torah. Avul Mumchim Lo. But if you have an expert Dayan, a guy can't just walk, a Baldin can't just walk into court and apostle a Dayan Mumcha. So says Gemara, that's what a mayor is saying? That you're only allowed to apostle an Chosha B'Suri? But I mean, Diktani Seif, the Seif Chacham, the Mishnah goes on to say, V'cham omrimei Masai, the Chacham say, when can you pass a Ladayan, bizman shemebi rayashen kroven opsulin? That's only if you could prove that they're a karav or a pasul. Avalim hayu ksherin or mumchin, but if these dayan are more ksherin or they're mumchin mipi bezdin, then ain't the yachal apostle, and then you're not allowed to pasul them, mechadra meir mumchin amikamar. That's the Chachamim shita, that you're not allowed to pasul mumcha, but that makes it sound like Rameir holds, you could even pasul a mumcha. So don't tell us. So the kasha is back. How could Rameir, if the Mishnah is telling me what it sounds like it's telling me, that Rameir holds, you could just walk into Basin and pasul a mumcha, why? Why are you allowed to do that? So the Gemara answers, no, you're making a bad diuk. You can't be medayik from the fact that the Chum say that you cannot pasul a dayin mumcha, the dayin mumcha, that Rameir holds you are able to pasul a dayin mumcha. The Chacham did not say that you're not able to pasul dayin mumchim. Hachi kamar. What the Chacham meant to say is, when can you pasul dayanim? Only when you bring a raya that they are pasul. Aval im hayu ksherin, but if these dayanim were ksherin, meaning you have no raya that they're a karav or a pasul, so then even dayanim that are hetiotos, nasu ki mumchin mipi bezin vein yachol poslan, then any regular hetiot that you don't have hard evidence against, we assume to be a mumcha. And that's the machlokas Rameir and the Chum. The Chum say, if we don't have hard evidence against the guy, presume he's a mumcha and you cannot disqualify him. Rameir holds that a dayan that's a hedyot, a baldin, can pasul. But if he's a mumcha, then in a chinami, you cannot pasul someone who's a known expert. So Tashma, the Gemara says, okay, let's try to bring a raya as to what Rameir's shita is. Can you or can you not pasul a mumcha? So Amlo Rameir, the Chum said to Rameir, lo kol imenu shepasul dayan shemumcha l'rabim. How can you, Rameir, say that you can pasul a dayan that's mumcha l'rabim? Sounds like from this brisa, from this conversation, this part of the conversation that appears in the brisa, that Rameir had just said that you're allowed to pasul even a mumcha. So don't you see that? But how could that be? So it says Gemara, Ema lo kol imenu shepasul dayan shemchu rabim aleihem. No, what it means is that people who appoint him as a dayan mumcha, even though he's not really a baki in the dinim, he's not really an expert. And Rameir says, since in reality he's not an expert, even though this is his job, that he works as a dayan, and people have accepted that, but since in reality he's not an expert, you are able to pasul such a dayan. Tanya Namiachi of Abraisa says just like this, that according to Rameir, you're not allowed to pasul a real mumcha. The liolim pasul the halich, each of the baal din can pasul all the dayanim that the other baal din brings. Ad she yikabel of bezin shemumcha l'rabim, until the baal din is in front of a bezin that's mumcha l'rabim, where you ran out of the now you don't have an option to pasul them. Div Rameir. So you see that Rameir holds once you get to actual mumchim, now you're not allowed to pasul them. So now the Gemara brings a raya from our Mishnah that you are allowed to pasul mumchim. Vaha edim kimumchim. When it comes to Edim, all Edim are considered to be the equivalent of Dayan Mumcha, meaning any Kashra Aid is the highest level, right? So what a Kashra Aid is the equivalent for Dayanus, what we would consider a Dayan Mumcha, because you can't get better than a Kashra Aid. So Edim are considered like Mumchin. Vam Rameir Zeh, but Rameir said each one can possibly the other guy's aid. So isn't Rameir telling you that even if he has top notch, you're allowed to go and passel it? So the same should be true of his Dayan Mumcha. So Ha'id Mar Allah, no, we already explained that Amrei Shlakish Pek Kadosh Yomar Tavazeh, that can it be that Rameir, who's a Pek Kadosh, would say that you could just passel someone's aid? Tani Eido. It doesn't mean you could passel his aidim, it means you could passel his aid echod. That if he brings an aid echod, you could passel him. And that is not the highest level, because an aid echod can't really do much. So it says Marvel Eido Lamai. What are you passeling him from? Ilem Lamamon, if you're passeling him from being able to be Mechayiv Mamon Rachmana Pasle, we don't need you to passel. The Torah says that an eid echad cannot be mechayiv mamon. And eid l'shvua, and if you're trying to say, well, this eid should not even be able to be mechayiv a shvua, himunimahem and kevei trei. What do you mean? The Torah believes him for a shvua. So why? So the kasha's back. Why would you have the right to pasul an eid? So the olam l'mamon. No, we're really talking about where you're pasuling him l'mamon. And the case is that the Bali Din were mekabel to believe this one eid as if he were Shnei Edim, and now one of them wants to back out on that Kabbalah, and he wants to say, what was I thinking? Why would I say that I should believe one aid, Kibbe Trey? I am hereby passling him, meaning I want to follow the Dine Torah. I don't want to believe this one aid, Kibbe Trey. That's what Rav Meir says you're allowed to do. That Zeh Posel Eid of Shel Zeh, that each one could passel the other one's aid. Meaning, if I previously accepted that we should trust him as two aidim, I can now back out on that. So what, the whole Chiddush of Rav Meir is that you're allowed to back out on the fact that you were Makabel something that was beyond what you had to be Makabel? Tanina, this we're going to already learn in the Beferish of Mishnah in tomorrow's daf, that Amalo, that if one Baldin says to the other, Neman Alay Abba, that I trust my father to be a Dayan to judge us, Neman Alay Avicha, or even trust your father to be a Dayan to judge us, Neman Alay Shlosheroi Bakar, I trust three cattle herders to be Dayanim, Rav Meir Amar Yochel Achsubov, Chum Romein Yochel Achsubov. Rav Meir says you could back out on such an acceptance, and the Chum say you cannot back out. Vomer Avdimi Breder Rav Nachman, Breder Rav Yosef, could go to Kiblei Alei Bechad, that the case is that you were makabel him as one of the dayanim. So Meir holds, since you were makabel an adam pasul to be dan midaraisa, you could always be chozer. So why does the Tana of our Mishnah have to say the same thing? Meaning what we're saying right now, that when Meir says zeh pasul eid of shel zeh, it means that if I was previously makabel an eid to do something an eid should not be allowed to do, I'm now allowed to go back on that. Well, I already have that in tomorrow's Mishnah. That Rav Meir says that if I was previously Mekabel, a Dayan, to do something a Dayan should not be able to do, or someone who's possible, or my father, then I'm allowed to back out on that. Why do I need two Mishnayos in a row to tell me the same thing? So Tzricha, you need both Mishnayos. Di Tana Abba Vavicha, if I only had tomorrow's Mishnah, Balkami Rabban, I would say that's where the Rabban would say, Dilomot Yadabe, that you're not allowed to back out on it. Mishum Da Abba Vavicha Chazu Li Alma, because Abba and Avicha are kosher, they're just not kosher for our case, but they could judge anyone else's case. But to accept one aid as if he had the koach of two aidim, that's not acceptable in any case. So I might think that the Chum would agree to Rav Meir that you're allowed to back out on. If we only would have had our Mishnah that you could back out on accepting one aid as if it was two aidim, I would say that's where Rav Meir says that you could back out. But in tomorrow's Mishnah, where I'm accepting Abba or Avicha as a Dayan, maybe Rav Meir would be moded to the Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to back out on that, because they are kosher or dayanim, so tzricha. So that's why it has to tell me both Mishnayos, it has to tell me the machlokas from Meir and the Chamim, whether you're able to be chozer bo. So the Gemara says, how can you say, zeh posel edo shel zeh, hamid k'tani reisha dayanahu, v'seifa edov, Al-Madafka Katani. Meaning, how do we touch up the Mishnah? We said, each one can possibly one of the other ones dayanim, and then we said, each one can passel a do shel zeh, your single aid that I have accepted, ki ilui shnei aidim. That's what he means. That's what a mayor means. It says a dove in plural. So it sounds like the Mishnah is being meduyak in its lashon. It doesn't sound like I'm passeling a single aid. It sounds like I'm passeling shnei aidim. So the Gemara says, okay, a different explanation from a mayor, that the baldin can passel the aidim, and this will be miyashiv the kasha. So I'm Rav Lazar says, when it says a mayor holds, you can passel the aidim, we're not talking about that you're just passeling him. You're coming along with somebody else to passel the edim that the Baal didn't brought against you. So two people are neman to passel two other edim. Says Mar, still, kol kamineinu geya medusahu. I, the litigant who is being sued, and this aid has testimony against me, come with somebody else who's a kosher person and testify that this aid is puzzle. So I'm going to be, that these aidim are puzzle. I'm going to be believed to say such a thing. I'm no gay abeidus. If these aidim are puzzle, then I'm off the hook. So I'm Rav Acha B'Rei Ravika K'gon Shekar Lav Irer. They are amazed that there's some sort of psul that he has. So Irer Demai, what kind of psul? Ilem Irer De Gazlan Usa. If you're claiming that he's a Gazlan, again, Kol Kaminei, I can claim that this guy's a Gazlan, no gay abeidus. So who? I'm absolutely no gay. No, I'm claiming that we need to investigate the yichus of this person's mishpacha, because maybe because, on account of his mishpacha, he's pasul eidus. Rav Meir savar hani a mishpacha kamasadi v'il memela kapasul. V'rabban savi sof sof nogei beidusahu. Rav Meir says, I'm not nogei beidus because I'm testifying that his mother isn't Jewish. My testimony is about his mother. It's not about him. Oh, elamai, turns out that if I say that his mother's not Jewish, he's not Jewish either, and then there's no aid against me. That's collateral damage. But my edus is about the mother. It's not really about him. And I'm not no gay about the edus of the mother. And the Chum say, yes, you are. Because if the mother's not Jewish, the aid's not Jewish, he can't testify against you. And if he can't testify against you, you win. So therefore, you're considered no gay about edus. It's a question of the Achronim explained. Probably what they're arguing about is what the psul of nogeya is, which is a major machlokas. Is the psul nogeya chashash meshaker, or is the psul nogeya psul of kurva, where it's not a chashash meshaker? So if it's a chashash meshaker, so you have a chashash meshaker over here, the rabbanu would be right. But if it's a psul of kurva, I may have a kurva to the person who's testifying against me, but I don't have a kurva negia to his mother. So that's the machlokas. Kiyos Rabdimi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabdimi came from Eretz Yisrael. He said the name Rabbi Yochanan. Machlokas Peshteki to Edim. Now the case is where Rameir and the Chum disagree whether you could disqualify each other's Edim is when the guy claims to have two sets of witnesses. So Rameir Savar Tzarech Levar. Rameir says if he claims to have two sets of witnesses against me, he's going to have to bring two sets of witnesses anyway. So I can possible one of them because anyway I'm going to lose the case with the other set of witnesses. Rabbanan Savri and Tzarech Levar. The Rabbanan say no. A guy starts a court case by saying, I have 1,000 witnesses that this man owes me the money. That's bluster. He doesn't have to bring 1,000 witnesses. He just needs to bring two witnesses. So therefore, the Rabbanan would say, you can't go postling any of his witnesses because that might be all he's got. Avul bebas achas, divrei akol ein yochol, bekas achas rather, divrei akol ein yochol postlan. But if he only has one set of witnesses against me, of course I cannot postle them. Amru levar of Rabbi Amin Rambasi, ein shamel kas achas mahu. What if there's only one set of witnesses? We just said what the halach is, then you cannot pasul. No, the shaila is, he says he has two sets of witnesses. Therefore, I'm allowed, according to our mayor, to pasul one of them. So I go and I pasul the first set of witnesses. Then it turns out the second set is pasul anyway. Now, do we not believe me retroactively about the first set? So I'm learning, kvar idu edim rishonim. Vikidami am ravashi kvar idu edim rishonim. No, we've already testified, we've already verified that the first set of witnesses are puzzle, and therefore we cannot bring them back, even though now it's turned out that the second set of witnesses are also puzzle. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up on the first wide line. Neima b'putta. Everyone have a wonderful day.